All right, super kids are dismissed, and you may be seated. What you doing? Oh, don't worry about that. You gonna do that sometime?
Yeah. Oh.
While they're doing it, I forgot I was gonna tell y'all something. The 16th, mark it on your calendar. Here, that's two Sundays, is Ugly Christmas Sweater. If you don't got one, find one. I was going to do it the 23rd, but my dear loving wife talked me out of doing it. So the 16th is wear your ugly Christmas sweater, even if it's a SpongeBob, which I still have not found my shirt. But praise God. All right. They're sorting out all the prayer requests out there. This little boy goes up to an old cowboy and he says, "Sir, how do I get to be an old man? How do I get to live a long old life?" Cowboy looks at him. He says, "Son, sprinkle a little gunpowder on your oatmeal every morning." True to his word, the old man died at 96 years of age. He left behind 4 children, 8 grandchildren, 15 great-grandchildren, and a 16-foot hole in the wall of the crematorium. Some of y'all, that'll hit you in a minute. Some of you might be on the way home. I got it! He was cremated. He was burned. Okay. All right. I think even a little corny humor's enough to help shake things up a little bit. Amen. Well, we are going to have war on the floor this morning, so make sure you get your prayer requests written up, and we are going to pray over them. I'm going to continue on in the vein that we've been on the last couple weeks about faith, hope, and love. We've looked at hope and how hope is the thing that we visualize down the end of the line. In our case, as Christians, our hope of glory is that when we stand before Jesus Christ and before God Almighty in that great throne of judgment, we are found innocent. We are found clean. Not necessarily always innocent, but we are cleared of all charges. And then we have faith. Faith is what we build up. The faith is what we begin to believe, and that's what helps builds our hope. But we tend to forget the most important thing of all, because Paul put it in there, the greatest of these three now abides faith, hope, and love. The greatest, the most important, the principal, the first thing we have to have is love. Everybody forgets the love. We leave the love on the back burner. I want to be a man of faith. I want to have hopes and dreams. I got hopes for my children. Well, if you don't have love, you can forget your faith. Your faith is nothing more than ritualistic religion that is not going to gain anything for you. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles in this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, I've read these first couple verses last week, but we're going to go over them again real quick. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up." Love is patient, folks. It endures. It's holding. It's steadfast. Okay? It's kind. Love is seeking to bestow kindness upon all men. Bible tells us it's His God's kindness that draws us to repentance. Because He first loved us. I've loved Jesus all my life. No, you didn't. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love is not looking across the aisle at the neighbor who just got a new pair of shoes and, look at them. I just want a pair. Well, go buy yourself a pair. Well, I can't afford them. Save up your money, because guess what? You save up your money and you get there, you might find you like a different pair better. Quit being envious of what your neighbor has. You never know what your neighbor went through to get it. Well, look at my neighbor. Look at the money. Look at that truck they got. Look at that four-wheeler. Look at that tractor. Yeah,
Yeah, they're in debt for the tractor. They're in debt for the truck. They're in debt for the four-wheeler. Unless they were wise with their finances, they're probably in debt for it. Don't envy them. Love is not... back up real quick. Love does not parade itself. Love is not coming to church saying, well, look how hot my big hat. I thank you, ladies, for not feeling the need to have to wear great big Easter bonnets that people can't see around. I get it. It's a tradition. Okay? But when our traditions are actually fueling something, they're stupid. I love the word stupid. Because it rubs people the wrong way. It is not puffed up. Love is not saying, hey man, look at me. Look at what I got. Look at all this. You can have nice things. Do you understand that? God wants you to have nice things. God gets no glory from you having to beg. Okay? But love is not going around saying, hey, look at me here. Pay attention to me. That's not what love does. Next one now. Love does not behave rudely. How many times have we seen people who are rude and then they turn around and you find out they're a Christian? Love is not rude. Love does not seek its own, is not provoked, and thinks no evil. I'll be honest with you, that last one is the hardest one for me. I don't know about you, but when I know somebody's a bad apple, it's really hard for me not to think the worst. Next one. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Love doesn't rejoice because somebody fell. How many times do we do that? Oh, look, a politician falls. I knew it. A preacher falls. I knew it. Love does not rejoice in sin, but rejoices in the truth. 7. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is what love does. My wife reminds me constantly of that. Love believes all things, the good of people. That's another one I have a hard time with, especially when you're still trying to pull the dagger out of the back out of your back. And you're like, you're telling me they're good? But love believes all things. Believes that there can be good in that person. And believe it or not, folks, there is. All people can have goodness. Somewhere along the line, somebody quit believing in them. People don't start out life being backstabbers, manipulators. They start out as innocent children. And all they're doing is acting out what happened to them. Endures all things. Next. Love never. I want y'all to, you say never, say never. This is one place you can say never. Love never fails. Love will not fail you no matter what. Love. People will fail you. We already know that, right? People are going to fail you. Your government's going to fail you. Your education system's going to fail you. Everything man-made will fail. Everything that we think of is going to fail. But love, from the beginning, God is love. God will not fail us. God will not leave us behind. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's something we can hold on to. But whether there are prophecies, people love to just fly right over top of these and they, oh, well, let's just get on down past it. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. I don't care who the prophet is. They will not have the words if love is not operating. And if a prophecy is not brought forth in love, even when God was sending the prophets to Israel to tell them to repent that doom was coming, what was fueling his warning them? His love. How many times did you tell your children, don't do that or I'm going to have to spank you. Don't do that. You might get hurt. And then when they're getting hurt, did you rejoice? I hope not. Yeah, it's like, man, I told you, but let's get this taken care of. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, here's the one religion loves to forget. knowledge. They throw prophecies and tongues in there because they're spiritual gifts. What's the matter? Oh, I thought maybe I had something hanging off my armpit. But whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is prophecies, they will fail. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish. We forget knowledge. Knowledge is not a hyper-spiritual, Holy Spirit-led thing. We get knowledge by sitting down and reading a book. Has knowledge ceased? Well, we have teachers in here, so obviously not. Is knowledge not increasing? Oh, heavens, yes. I heard last night about a robot that China has for a reporter that works 24/7. It's a prototype. It tells the news. Doesn't require anybody. But here's the problem. Somebody asked, do you trust it? No! Why? Because a man had to type in the information the robot's telling you. A one-sided, one-opinion person is still telling the information. So none of it changed. It's just they don't have to pay somebody to do it anymore. But whether there's knowledge, it will vanish. So none of this has happened. And this is why people say, well, tongues are not real and prophecies are not real because, well, the Bible has been completed. Hogwash. It's not even talking about the Bible yet. Doesn't even talk about the Bible here. Next verse. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. We don't have full knowledge, do we? People give prophecies. God has kept back certain parts and they don't understand. The book of Revelation would be so much easier if God had just given John, hey, here's what's going to happen, man. Instead, God took him to the edge of the water on this little rocky outcrop of island, and he said, watch. And God opened up this great big drama for him, and the only way he had to explain it was monsters and things happening. He saw things happening in the sky, and he's just trying to explain it the best he can. I got hair stuck at the corner of my eye. All right. But when that which is perfect has come, this is where people start talking about tongues and prophecy. But when that which is perfect has come, well, the Bible has been completed, therefore tongues are no longer needed. Prophecy is no longer needed. Baloney, we're not even talking about the word being compiled. We're not even talking about the Bible. We're talking about love. When love has been perfected, then that which is in part will be done away. I can promise you right now, ladies and gentlemen, our love will not be perfected because we are constantly working on it. We can get close and not need to rely completely on these things, but we will always need these things because we are imperfect. We will only be perfect or that mature when Christ has returned, and we now see all. Verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, you know, I know so many people. Well, you know, you got this whole generation. They watch cartoons. Well, yes, I do. You're still telling the same dumb stories you heard as a child. Right? What do you think I think of those? I grew up with Scooby-Doo. I don't watch Scooby-Doo anymore because it's been replaced by SpongeBob. Just because I have children. And you can't even watch cartoons today because now they even have a political slant. They have agendas that are constantly being pushed. Honestly, Bugs Bunny did too back in the day. Oh, goodness. We put away childish things. Paul's not talking about those things. You know, I've got dump trucks on the shelves in my house. I've got toys in my house. Well, Pastor, you need to put them toys away. Those toys don't represent what you think they represent. They represent good memories. That's it. Now, if my grandchildren want to play, I let my boys play with my dump trucks when they were little. That's why one of them doesn't have a windshield anymore. But they did. They played with it. Because my opinion is, toys are meant to be played with. I don't sit around and play with them, but I look at them. It's like, man, that reminds me of my childhood. Of a good time in my childhood. There are things that remind me of bad times. I don't collect those things. But I collect the things that remind me of the good times. Is it a childish thing for me to do that? Well, some people think so, but you know, I've recently learned of a man who has a train and toy collection that's valued about $30 million. He's 88, so you tell me who's a child. Sounds to me like when he passes, he's going to leave his children quite the inheritance. We look at things and say, well, that's childish. What is childish is to act like a little spoiled brat, to throw a temper tantrum. I didn't get my way. Oh, my goodness. You can't play because I don't like you. That stuff is childish. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall be known just as I shall know just as I'm also known. We're looking right now, we're looking into at ourselves in foggy mirrors. Okay? Do you ever see them old mirrors with quicksilver starting to fade on them? And you're like, man, is that really what I look at? And then you find a modern mirror that's clean. It's like, oh, okay, I look better. That's what happens. We come out of this, we're like, man, I just don't see myself. So you need to understand, a lot of back then they didn't have it. They had highly polished silver. They used metal, and you didn't get a real good reflection of who you were. But with our technology and stuff, we've developed mirrors that reflect exactly what we're seeing. And even mirrors are a little bit off. If you've ever like, oh, yeah, I look pretty good in that. And you get out in public and people are like staring at you. Well, there was something you missed. You know, either your pants are a little too high or maybe there's a big hole in the backside of them. You know, you can't see behind you. But we look in mirrors and we see dimly. And the Bible says that one day we will see face to face. We will be known, or we will know just as we are known. Why? Because God will reveal. Our love reveals who we really are. What we tolerate. Now, when I say tolerate, I ain't talking about sin. I'm talking about what we are patient with. We should be patient with children. We should be patient with young Christians, baby Christians. Do we expect them all to grow up? Absolutely. There's coming a day when my grandson is going to want to shoot his first BB gun. He's going to want to shoot his first .22 rifle. But in the end, we need to expect them to grow up. Because one day, I want him to shoot my big rifle. I want him to drive my truck. Or his daddy's truck. Shed a little fear into my son. But there's going to come a day, and you have to expect that. But if we as Christians do not let our love grow, and you don't know how you get it to grow, you got to put it out there. You've got to give it the opportunity to be kind. You've got to give it the opportunity to be patient. If you do not do these things, your love will never, ever grow. Because I need to tell you something. Love is not legalistic. So many churches today, oh, this, and they say, we love. No, you are legalistic. Love and legalism are on the opposite ends of the spectrum. Because love says, I will be patient, I will be kind. Legalism says, do this because I said. That's a huge difference. And God has never been about legalism. So many people think, well, what about the Ten Commandments? What about, that was all for us. It was all because mankind rejected God. The Israelites, they rejected God on the mountain. They didn't want to go meet him. Is there anybody here today who would not want to meet God face to face and live? You need to understand, God was making provisions for them to see him, to meet him. And they rejected it. They refused. Yeah, exactly. That is the definition of stupid. You get to meet the Creator. And why? Because they were terrified of the power. I ain't gonna lie, you're at the bottom of a mountain, you're looking up top, and there's lightning, and there's a big cloud over top of it, and you're thinking, okay, you're telling me I need to go up into that. But if you went up knowing that you would not be harmed, it's just like asking somebody, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Right? Maybe some of you would go for your doctorate. Maybe some of you would be doctors. Maybe you'd do different things. Maybe some of you would try to parachute. You couldn't fail. There'd be no fear. I know I would. Shoot, I'd still do it now. Downside is I'm going to have to be strapped to some probably 20-year-old who's been jumping for 10 years. So there goes my male ego. But one day we will be known. We will know ourselves just as God has always known us. I think back to a time when I was really starting to struggle hard. And God sent a man to tell me some things about myself and what my future was going to hold. By the way, I am standing here doing what he told me. But he began to describe me. He described exactly how I felt. And the second he opened his mouth, I've shared this before, I knew he was talking about me. Even though half a dozen other people went up, he kept saying, "You're not it. You're not it. You're not it." And then finally he said, "I'm only going to wait a few more seconds." He said, "If this person does not come up, I will not pursue it any further." And the second I flinched, he said, "That's him." He wasn't looking at me. He was looking straight ahead. He could see me move. But the second I flinched, I knew it was me because my heart and my stomach decided to trade places. But when he began to describe me, God was showing him me. And that's exactly how I felt. And one day we will be known, or we will know what God has seen of us. God knows what you've been through. God knows the real you that you've been hiding, that you've been protecting. First off, love comes in to amplify that. I need you to understand that. God is sending us his love so that we can amplify the things we're trying to protect. But what happens is legalism brings in the hurts. It brings out all the hurt and why. Well, I don't do this because of that. Listen, I don't drink because I love my children. I love my family. That's why I don't drink. If we're going to get legalistic, which Paul never did, but preachers today have, I don't do it because I love. Cut and dry. There's a lot of things I don't do because of love. Love teaches us that I'm not the most important thing on the planet. When we get that, we actually come to find out that maybe we really are, because we're able to help somebody. And that person, that one person that you were kind to, that one person you showed love to, you were the most important person in the world. You follow me? I shall be known just as I also am known. And this next verse won't come up, but this is where Paul said, now abides faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. We want to be known as lovers, not as legalistic, not as hateful. There was a time in life, if you nodded off in church, they had deacons standing in the back of the church. At first, the pole had a feather on the end, and the deacon would tickle your nose or your ear to wake you up. And if you did not wake up, guess what came next? He hit you in the head with the stick. By the way, this is also the same church that generated the rule of thumb. You couldn't beat your wife with a stick bigger than your thumb. Explain to me where love comes into play into that. I wouldn't want to be hit with a stick the size of my pinky. That's not love to beat your wife. Bible says the two become one. Exactly when did we fail to realize that? So we've gotten legalistic. Well, I do this because of the way I was raised. Well, stop it! I mean, come on. I grew up, I'm going to kind of tell my dad a little bit here. When my dad was a heathen, he taught me how to throw beer bottles out of a moving vehicle and get them in the ditch. I could do it good. Are you following me? He doesn't do that anymore, just so you know. I quit throwing bottles out the window. I quit throwing trash out. Because I'm going to tell you why. Because the Marine Corps decided, hey, you're going to pick up trash. You're going to pick up somebody else's trash. Somebody else who thought it was cool to throw their pop bottle out the window. Or worse yet, this one just drove me nuts. You're going to pick up their cigarette butts. So I'm going to tell you right now, you know what happened when I became a non-commissioned officer? I saw somebody smoking. I said, you'd better wrinkle that thing up and put it in your pocket. I said, because people are getting tired of picking up after you. So any of the guys in my unit that worked under me, if they smoke, they put it in their pocket. They walked away because they understood what it was like. You don't understand what it's like to police 4 football fields on a line picking up cigarette butts. Yeah. We policed everything. We policed the woods. I think you need to understand this. The woods. We picked up brass. We picked up cigarette butts. We picked up cans from grenades. We picked it all up. Made me not want to go spend so much brass, but it was so fun. Especially when we caught the woods on fire. That wasn't quite so fun. Became a fireman for a day. But we started enforcing things. Because listen, I don't throw garbage out the window. You're not going to throw garbage out the window. So I don't throw garbage out the window. If I got paper, I ball it up and put it in a little cubby in my truck. I break my cans over if I've got a can and I throw it in the floorboard. I break my bottles over. Do the same thing, seal them up. And then when I get home, at some point, I'll eventually throw the garbage out. I can't say I do it as soon as I get home. Justin opened the door the other day and this water bottle rolls out across the lot at the school. He looks up, he's like, really, Dad? So, I know, buddy, I'm sorry. Time to clean my truck out. It was sitting on 2 days worth of junk mail. I don't ride in a passenger seat. That's what it's for. Throw all the junk over there. But when we understand, folks, what love really is, love does not worry about being legalistic. She couldn't make me love her, and I can't make her love me. It's not possible. God does not force us to love him. I do nothing for God out of legalism. Not one thing. I don't even tithe out of legalism. I tithe because I love God. It's not a legalistic thing. People get it. Well, tithing was before Abraham here at Melchizedek. Listen, tithing was before that. It was in the Garden of Eden. And by the way, what happened with Melchizedek and Abraham is just one instance of that. Every time Abraham went into a new country and into their capital or wherever their king was, he had to tithe. It was the custom. It was you paying your way for keeping security, keeping the roads, doing all of that. When he went into Egypt, he gave Pharaoh 10% as well. God continued to bless, but what did Pharaoh do? Pharaoh made sure that he was taken care of, that he was protected. That's why Pharaoh was so upset with Abraham when he found out that Sarah was his wife, not his sister as he had claimed. She was a distant relative, but she was not his sister. So
Tithing wasn't even something of that, but God made it a mandatory thing in legalism. We tithe today not because of that, but because God still made a promise that if we do that, this is what he'd do. I can promise you right now, ladies and gentlemen, if our country, if our government would tithe, and I'm not talking about giving to the arts. Okay, I like art. Don't get me wrong. But we're so worried about making it government mandated that we have our money is given to the arts. Why do we have homeless? Why do we have hungry? Why do we have vets that are on the streets? Now, there's a few people out there I know. Some of them made the choice to do this. They love what they do. They don't care. They don't have to worry about paying property tax, taxes, or anything. Problem is, they're going to probably die in a cold corner somewhere in a street and be forgotten. But if all that is the case, why are we not taking care of those people? That's who we should be taking care of before we're building museums so that we can put the Bible or a crucifix in a jar of urine and call it art. Okay? There's a lot of other things we need to be doing. And if we did stuff like that, in all honesty, there's no reason why anybody in the world should be hungry with as much food as the United States produces. But it's all about money. It's all about greed. And I believe it's, what, the 16th Amendment that created income tax? Or is it 33rd? I don't remember. But up until that point, the government was expected to be just like a business. It was held accountable for things. Well, we just couldn't keep going. Well, let's see. We fought one war, two wars, three wars, four wars, and we didn't have income tax. By the way, we won. We create income tax. We start getting our butts handed to us in a few fights. We got politicians, we got corporations that are making billions and billions and billions of dollars because of greed. Because, well, by the way, this country first started out doing things right. They honored God. They began making money and proper investments and things of that nature. And today, as far as love, there was a time in life, I know these guys, their stuff probably was too. So a lot of my stuff, my uniform stuff, my scarf, I know was made by a company that helps blind people do something. They get to work with their hands. They're blind. And those scarves were absolutely perfect. Many of our uniform stuff were made like that, but when it starts getting greedy, that's when quality starts failing. Well, you just got to take it. I mean, we spent billions and billions and billions of dollars on these jets that can't seem to figure out how to fly right. But yet, the Marine Corps is still dealing with stuff from the beginning of Vietnam. And they're robbing parts off of one to keep one plane flying. And they're still fulfilling their missions. By the way, they're doing it because they love this country. So if love is our rule, love is allowed to govern, we don't have to worry about being legalistic. Well, Pastor, I just don't know. I'm telling you, try it. That's why one first thing, God said, try me. I've told you before, that's God saying, I'm double dog daring you. By the way, if you want to live in fear of the other part of it. You robbed me. I'd just as soon not rob the master of the universe, personally. Because, I mean, you break into my house to rob me. Like I said, you're going to be met with Mossberg. That's all you're going to hear. Don't know why you're trying to take. If you're starving, I got food over here. I'll give you food. Well, you know, Pastor, that just don't sound like love. Well, my scaring the bejeebers out of somebody just might save their life. Well, I know. Still don't sound like love. Love is patient. Love is kind. I spanked my children not because I wanted to be mean to them, but because I wanted to be kind to them.
Jesse was one who loved to put his hands on the stove. It's usually hot when he tried to do it. She'd have to smack his fingers. That's how you learn. But love does not do it because it's legalistic. Trust God in all things. You'll have that peace. So today, like I said, we're going to pray. We have a lot of things to be praying for. I know we've got some events that have happened locally, some events that have happened in the nation, still happening on the border. You know, there's just so much stuff happening in our country today. And, you know, we need godly wisdom. We need love to prevail.